This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, it's Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich is, despite one of a very ticky-tack, would you say, can we say that, Mike? It was ticky-tack foul?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Roughing the passer on the Chargers. They still hold, and the Texans have to punt the ball back to the Chargers. So the Chargers, with a seven-point deficit here, go in and see if they can tie this thing, or who knows, maybe take the lead. Who knows if they decide to go for two or what. But it was, again, I would have, and I am a guy that has a Texans ticket, but like, I would have been upset if they would have converted that penalty into points, because that was as clean a hit. The guy didn't, there was nothing egregious about it. It was low. It was to the middle of the body. It wasn't low. It wasn't high. It was everything you're supposed to do, except matrix yourself off of the quarterback whenever you're driving him, you know, backward or whatever. That is not a foul. That is not a foul. I understand the spirit of it, where you don't want these like 350 pound guys, like, kind of just plopping on a dude, but like, that was not what that was.
No, it wasn't even a 350-pound dude.
Yeah.
It was a linebacker who blitzed and was able to get home, and they called body weight on it. And like you said, it just, especially after watching Herbert complete a pass where the defensive end does not fully tackle him because he doesn't want to take a penalty, then you see this happen on the other end. You're like, well, what is the defender supposed to do? What are they supposed to do? Because that hit was clean. He hit him in the torso. He drove him to the ground. Yes, he landed on top of him. Where else was he supposed to go, though, as you are trying to tackle another human being? The natural place to land on is on top of them.
Yes.
And so it's just interesting to watch those two plays, and both of them just heavily favoring the offense.
So we get, okay, yes, that was not a safety. It was a completion on the 1 yard line. They drive him back into the end zone for tackle, but of course, forward progress, whatever. So the Chargers will, again, they will run second down from inside of the 1 yard line. So technically second and 11. Now for this drive. So Herbert standing about 5 yards deep in his own end zone to take this snap. And it's not going to necessarily, Mike, show up in the box score, but man, Herbert, we often talk about Josh Allen putting on the cape or whatever. Like, the fact that Herbert is even able to orchestrate any sort of offense for the pressure that he has been under today, I mean, it really does solidify how special of a quarterback he is.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because there's some Herbert lovers, there's a Herbert detractors out there. You watch this and like, it's all on Herbert.
Yeah.
Every single time
every
I watch
play.
The Chargers.
Yeah.
It is all on him. And it's, you've got good wide receivers. He has weapons to use, but he doesn't have any time to use them. He's constantly under pressure. And we were talking about this during one of the breaks, but it's unfortunate that you're missing Alton Slater, because this would have been at worst a middling offensive line had you had both of those pieces in. They've lost them. They've lost other pieces. It's been an absolute mess for them all season, and that's what kind of creates.
If you want to see what we're talking about, just watch this play right here. Like, oh, are they going to?
He escapes pressure in the end zone, rolls out, and then laterals it back to his tight end, who then runs it for the
first
down.
Oh no, they're going to call illegal forward pass. I thought it was backward. It looked backward to me.
I did too. Well, it's when you're running, it often gets a little messy.
They have picked up. They picked up the flag. Okay, it looked backward to me. I thought it was clearly backward.
The nice part is the expedited review would have figured that out very quickly.
Yes, and that was backward.
Like, that is one of those, yeah.
So there we go. So,
and that's going to be if cash your rushing props for Will Disley.
Right, cash all the Disley rushing props on that one. But
you probably hit the ladder with that one.
It's funny that we are in the middle of praising him about doing what he's doing, and then that play happens right there, which is just the awareness that I'm not going to be able to scramble for the first down. This guy's standing over here by himself. Let's see what he can do. And they convert the first down out of their own end zone. And here they go. And they, you know, again, it just, there's no telling whether they get points on this or not, but they're not having to punt out of the back of their own end zone. Without, I mean, that's a win right there. Well,
That play was very important to at least get 5 or 6 yards, because you're sitting on the one. You've got an offense with the Texans that can't really move the football. Even if you get your 5 or 6 yards in your regular punt formation, if you can get that ball back to midfield, it's not guaranteed that the Texans are putting on a field goal, right? Because of what we've seen from this offense, the 15 yards is a process for the Texans to be able to get 15 yards at this point. You just need to keep this a one-score game as long as possible and hope that Herbert can do something magical.
Yeah. Just under two guys free running at him. He has to get rid of it before he wants to. They just have no answer for these defensive calls. I mean, just nothing. He literally had two guys just free running at him. Third and nine. We'll see what happens here. Guys, by the way, we're going to be on air all day New Year's Day. So come on in. Numbers game, prop points, money moves, follow the money, VSiN primetime cash. Now, all of those are going to be here on New Year's live programming. So spend your New Year with VSiN, the nonstop home for sports bettors, as we get in there and keep you going with all the games that are happening and live betting angles and all of that. It's going to be fourth down. They're going to have to punt it back. But again, they're not punting it back out of the back of the end zone. So it was a very significant first down, even though it did not result in points.
Yes. Yeah, it was very significant there. Herbert almost sacked on third down. Yes. Once again, able to get it out to Hampton, but he's only able to get one. So we are going to see a punt back here. 11:16 left in the fourth. Texans will get the football back, but they will have to drive 30 yards to be able to get into field goal range, which is the important part here. If you are the Chargers, you just want to keep this a 7-point game and give opportunities to Herbert.
Well, except the punter punted it about 35 yards again.
Again?
Yeah. It went out about the 45-yard line or something like that.
Chargers kicking game not on point today, Matt.
No. I'll get you the official total here as soon as it pops up, but 34-yarder, yes. 34-yard punt.
So on his last two punts, he's averaged 30.5 yards a punt?
Yeah, yeah.
That's not good.
Brutal. Wow. I mean, these guys punt at 50 yards every single, so the extra 16 yards, I mean, that is so massive when you're talking, like you just said, now field goal range is just like one good chunk as opposed to two good chunks. Texans hadn't gotten any chunks anyway, so we'll see. Texans have not been chunking very
well. They got too early.
Yeah.
Not much since.
Yeah. No chunks since. Been more chunks out of the Pop-Tart up here than there has been for the Texans here lately. I guess the Pop-Tart got eaten, so it's over.
BYU got the job done. They win 28-21, win the Pop-Tart Bowl. Probably the most exciting bowl. Let's just be honest. The most exciting bowl of all bowl season outside of the playoff is the Pop-Tart Bowl. They get the job done. I did not see what Pop-Tart got eaten, though. I'm sure if I go on Twitter, I'll have lots of Pop-Tart updates.
Yeah, we did get two ranked teams at least playing each other and all of that. And there was the hype around it, and it was kind of fun. And everyone was kind of clowning it, but also liking it at the same time. So, yeah, this is kind of what bowl season should turn into, Mike, in my opinion. If we're going to keep all of these bowls, we need to just make them goofy or something, because it's a hard sell. It's just a hard sell on a bowl game that means nothing with all the opt-outs, and you, like, coaches are leaving, and it's the third string quarterbacks, the other two left and whatever, and all of that. It's just, we make it goofy, make it fun, because if not, if you take it too seriously, because I've had no interest in some of these bowl games. Literally, not a shred of interest in some of these.
Well, the thing with bowls is they're supposed to be fun. This is supposed to be a reward for the program, a reward for the players, for the fans of having a successful season. Lean into the fun part. Lean into it being a good time. You know what I mean? And that the Pop-Tart Bowl has done a very good job of leaning into it being a good time. Other bowls need to lean into finding fun sponsors, having fun with it, being ridiculous, making it an experience. Just go out and have a good time on the football field for 3 hours, because it is supposed to be a celebration of a successful season for these programs and a treat for the fans and the players. And it's very much does not feel like that's the general idea behind it anymore.
The Chargers just give the ball to the Texans at the 45-yard line to start this drive, and Woody Marks just blasts through for 10 yards. And so now they're literally 7 yards away from a field goal now. I mean, that's just, that's what a 34-yard punt does for you.
Yeah. And then now it feels like, okay, we can just run the football three times and we can kick a field goal.
Yeah.
Fairbairn is good from this distance. It's a very good kicking situation. Like, and that, it's funny because 7 points feels like this game is still very much in doubt. 10 points feels almost insurmountable
crazy.
The current offensive line that you've got with the Chargers.
So the actually kind of worked out for the Texans because they marked him like a half a yard short. So they had second and one, which was really like second and half a yard. So they kind of get to do whatever they want to. They run it again with Woody Marks, And he does pick it up, who has 12 for 57 on the day. So he's actually okay from a yardage basis on a per carry basis, but it doesn't feel like it for whatever reason.
Two quick updates before here, Matt. First off, Latvia ties up Canada in the second period. We're tied at one. That would be a huge upset.
Yes,
if Latvia beats Canada in the 18 and under in the world championships. There also quarterback for San Diego State injured, so their backup quarterback going to be coming in now, taking on North Texas right now. A 28-13 game there in the second quarter. So North Texas now gets the backup for San Diego State, which probably not great for San Diego State, is North Texas most likely going to score a few more points in that game.
I guess they are leaning more into the run now here, Mike, as Woody Marks has kind of sliced and diced this defensive line on this drive. So they are now within field goal range, like we said. Now it's a long one. It would be 50-plus, but they would certainly try it if it came down to it. But second and three here for the Texans, who – I don't know if the play is going to count or not. A flag kind of came in instantly, so I don't know if this play is going to count or not. So we'll see. Woody Marks gets stuffed anyway, but I don't know if this is going to be a free first down or those illegal motion or something like that. Oh, yeah, offside on the defense. So there we go. Free first down for them. So that's not going to help things out there, Chargers, if you give them free first downs. They haven't been moving the ball very well on their own. You don't want to move it for them. 8:27 left in the fourth quarter, a 7-point lead for the Texans, but are driving and in theoretical field goal range as we sit right now. Arizona Cardinals are on the road at the Cincinnati Bengals as 7-point dogs. What do we think about that? We'll let you know when we come back.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The murdering of two Pop-Tarts live on television is occurring as we speak. They're making them off like they're live Pop-Tarts, but then they're dropping them down into a toaster, Mike. I mean, like, we're murdering Pop-Tarts live on television.
And then they pop out edible Pop-Tarts on the bottom. We got BYU's head coach who now just chomping down on that Pop-Tart.
Yeah, there we go.
How would you feel? Bear Brockmeyer, the quarterback.
Two gigantor Pop-Tarts.
Yeah. The largest edible mascot in football game history right there, Matt. You just witnessed history.
There it was. And I think you and I, Mike, I think is instead of sponsoring a bowl next year, we need to see if we can get our hands on just one of those gigantor Pop-Tarts. And like, let's just like have a party with one of the gigantor Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous. I like Pop-Tarts. I would definitely eat the Pop-Tart that comes out of that toaster.
Yeah, this is like, those got to cost like, I don't know, we'd probably get one of those for like $1,000, right?
Oh, easily. You get it for less than that. I mean, but like a normal size Pop-Tart is, you get like what, four for $4 or something?
Let's do this.
Yeah, I mean, we can find a way to get a big
Pop-Tart. We're going to look into this. And next year, about this time, party at Circa. Hey. We're going to have our own giant Pop-Tart. Everyone's invited.
No, here's what we need to do. All of the Pop-Tart executives that are currently tuned in and watching Ready, Set, Bet or listening to Ready, Set, Bet, sponsor the show. We'll be the Ready, Set, Bet show sponsored by Pop-Tart. And we'll have Matt dressed in a big Pop-Tart outfit, and we'll have the giant Pop-Tarts on the table there. We can make it happen.
Yeah, it'll be great. Well, let's definitely do this. So the terrible punt does end up into points. It was a field goal for the Texans, so they will sit here with a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. And, you know, again, you have an awesome quarterback – but he has just, he has fought and struggled for every single thing that they have gotten today. Justin Herbert, that, did we finally get a McConkey reception? We finally, McConkey on the board. McConkey on the board.
He exists.
A sighting, McConkey sighting, at the 6 minute mark of the fourth quarter. He gets his first target. It is a completion. And so here go, they're going to have to run, you know, they're going to have to play with their hair on fire here, down 10 with 6 minutes left in the game. So we shall see. But yes, a nice completion down to the 45 yard line. So see if they can't get something going here. Of course, down by 10, so they would kick a field goal if it came down to it, with Dicker, who did miss his first field goal inside of 40 yards in his career today. Like, I mean, if you, that kind of sums up how this game has gone for them. It's like, under pressure, probably 70% of the time, your kicker, who's the most automatic kicker in the game, misses a 32-yard field goal. You have a 22 and a 34-yard punt in this game. I mean, like, it's just, everything has gone wrong, and yet you're still only down 10.
The red zone interception at the end of the first half, where the ball bounces off of Gaston's hands at the 1 yard line as well. I mean, this is, it's just been a masterclass in the Chargers of trying to beat themselves here. And yet again, like you said, still just a 10 point game here. They also blew two coverages in the first quarter.
Right.
If they hadn't blown those two coverages, they, like, the Texans would not be a 20 right now. No. Like, let's not forget about that as well on the defensive side. So a lot of mistakes from the Chargers here, allowing the Texans to have this 20-10 lead. It's going to be interesting to see how they're able to move down the field here, because it's not been pretty. And you had that one big play, 31-yarder to McConkey. You had a 17-yarder to Allen. You're not pushing the football down the field. It's been a lot of spamming Omario Hampton here with targets.
And it was, again, this kind of lived in the 7.5, 6.5 live spread. We kind of said maybe the 7.5 was at least somewhat tempting on the Chargers. Of course, a field goal gets you covering that, which they are, like I've said, in field goal. Well, they're not now, because he gets sacked again. Oh my God. By like five guys. I don't even know. You can't divide a sack up into nine pieces. But
Max they give is a half.
Yeah.
So let's see here. That's going to be Hunter's. Yeah, Hunter. I'm guessing that's a full to Hunter, maybe a half to Hunter and half to Audrey. But that sack pushes them out of field goal range. Also a flag on the play. So we'll have to see what the flag is here.
Oh, they get bailed out again. Illegal contact. It wouldn't have mattered, because Justin Herbert had no time to throw the ball. Ooh. Wow, that looked like
5 yards.
McConkey
automatic first
ran
down
into him. And again, it would not have, Herbert was already wrapped up when this illegal contact happened, supposedly happened.
Yeah, that is a very ticky-tack call there, too. Like, you mentioned it. Like, that, he was playing a route, and McConkey changed his route, and it already was being sacked by the time he got touched.
Well, there we go.
First and 10 here, 4:20 left.
Yeah, Herbert hits Gadsden. If you have no time to throw, you take a little 2.5-step drop, and you just huck it. That's what he did right there for a first down. So they have first and goal. The worst of the first goals you can possibly have. It's on the exactly on the 10-yard line. But now they will have second goals. That's going to be incomplete to Keenan Allen in the end zone. It's 10-point deficit, Mike. I guess we'll see how close they get, whether they decide to go for it on fourth down or not, or kick the field goal. You're going to eventually need a field goal anyway. So I imagine if they get half of this, they probably go for it on fourth. If they don't get anything, they probably kick the field goal. So we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah. I still have all three timeouts. I think they're probably kicking the field goal. It's Harbaugh. He's not an overly aggressive coach.
That's
true. This is not an offense from the Texans side that has really been able to move the football consistently against you. So I would assume here that they are going to take the points if we get down to it from pretty much anywhere except for the 1 or 2 yard line. But we'll see what they're able to do here on second and third and goal.
Herbert under pressure again, escapes the pressure, and then eventually gets sacked. I mean, it's just, seriously.
It's the funny thing is, we've actually taken two sacks off the board because of penalties now.
Yes.
So that, I believe, is the, oh man, Will Anderson makes contact after play but does not get flagged, so it doesn't cost his team there. But that was the sixth sack of Justin Herbert. There's been at least two others that have been taken off the board due to penalty.
Yeah. And then if we talk about the escape, the four times that he's escaped certain sackage, I mean, we could have had double digits in this thing.
Yes.
So here we are.
We still could.
That's true. That's true. There's still 4 minutes left. What did they? Oh, they did call it?
No. Did they?
Why is it saying first and goal on the screen?
Defensive holding.
Oh.
So there was a defensive holding call. Okay. So let's take another sack off the board. So wow. It's going to be, yeah, first and goal from the 5 after the defensive holding in the end zone.
Yeah, so that's 3 off the board. So we would be at 8.
Yes.
Yeah, we would be at 8. Where's the hold? I mean, I guess.
These are some pretty soft, pretty soft defensive penalties we're seeing out here.
Yeah, this is the offensive line is getting bailed out so big here because they would be looking at 8 or 9 sacks in this game if they hadn't have gotten bailed out by calls. Oh, they're going to run it, trying to sneak up on them, and they did, and they got it in, and it's a touchdown. We're within, well, extra point pending, within 3 points as Hampton, they catch him off guard, run it in right up the middle. 2016 extra point pending with plenty of time left. 3:37, all 3 timeouts, the 2-minute warning, and Justin Herbert at quarterback.
All they need is a field goal now to be able to try and tie this game up. Looks like it's all about this Texans run offense. Can they actually run the football for 2 straight first downs, right? We saw them have success running the football when they set up that field goal. We're going to be able to see that same Texans run game come up able to execute this 4-minute offense.
The snap, the kick. It is, oh my goodness. Dicker missed it.
Oh my God.
Oh no. Dicker.
Oh no, there's a flag. Did they get bailed out again?
I didn't see anything.
They're walking off the field.
I didn't see any illegal contact to the center there. There was no one offsides.
Mike, we have watched the worst kicking performance, considering who the kicker is, and then the 2 punts, that is going to cost them this game. Those 2 punts led to points both times, and then a missed field goal from 32 and a missed extra point. I mean, that's the game.
It's wild. I mean, the Houston points came off of 2 blown coverages for touchdowns, 2 terrible punts from the Chargers, which resulted in the 2 field goals. That's your 20 points. You've got the missed field goal, the missed extra point. Wow. This game's been a mess, Matt. I mean, we've got all these sacks on the Houston side as well, but there's been penalties on both ways that have been kind of like, I'm not so sure, especially with some of these legal contacts and the sack penalty, the unnecessary roughness. A lot of chicanery in this game.
Guys, PropitX prediction market out there that you can find college football national championship, also Super Bowl odds in there. Holiday sale going on right now. Take advantage of PropitX's 20% purchase match. So download the PropitX app today. Experience the future of winning. Use the promo code VSIN, VSIN, to get started. It is 2016. It is not 2017. Fairly significant as the extra point is missed. We'll let you know how the last 3:30 go right here. Do not go anywhere.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Matt, Mike here, Ready, Set, Bet, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. 3rd and 9 for the Texans. Stroud drops back. He is pressured, and he is going to be sacked for a huge loss. This field goal now becomes... Oh, there's a flag. Every time there's a big play in this game, there's a flag. Every single time there's a big play in this game, there's a flag. Oh,
it's
my
God. Not going to be holding on the offense.
It is. Oh, my God. This crew.
Oh, geez. This is one of those where you just like it's been both ways.
It's not one way. It's not one way. It's definitely. But I mean, it's just like we're going to end the. He had no chance of completing that pass. Like, no chance of completing that pass. And now the game's over.
Yeah, and it's one of those situations too where he ran into him and he had his hands on him, but then he when the receiver broke, his hands were not on him anymore. That is a very, 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 very and tough call. But, and we saw multiple calls.
I was just like you said, it's been both ways. Like you said, it's been both ways. Yeah. It's just,
but it's still, it's not how you want to see these games decided.
That one, I mean, I know it doesn't. You're supposed to just call the game, and you shouldn't worry about what point in the game it is. You're not supposed to call things differently because of the point in the game. However, there's my preface to say, at that point in the game, Mike Somich, are you serious with that call? Are you serious with that call? I mean,
at any point
grazed him. I mean, grazed him.
At any point in the game, that should not be defensive. Like, that shouldn't be illegal contact. Like, just like the other ones on the Texans shouldn't have been illegal contact. That shouldn't have been illegal contact either. And that's going to, I mean, most likely, there is still a chance the Chargers win this football game, but it is very, very, very bleak at this point. I do have some good news for you, Matt.
Shoot the gap.
I'm sure you bet it. Pasternak, 1-0 Bruins. He gets the goal early in the game. So your Pasternak anytime goal cashes.
Yeah.
Did you bet it, Matt?
No.
Yeah.
Do you want to see right here on the sheet where I wrote Pasternak goal right there? Yeah. See where I wrote that on there?
Plus 150. Would have cashed it would have cashed it about 10 minutes into the game.
Neat. That's fun. That's fun. If you wouldn't have updated me, I wouldn't have known. I like the needle.
Yeah, but
it's a good needle. It's a good needle.
I knew that you meant to bet it. I also was almost positive you did not bet it, so I had to mention it.
Yeah, it's just. Oh, by the way, since we're at break here, going back to the Pop-Tart Bowl, did you see one of the Pop-Tarts like chose to live? Did you see he like jumped off the top and he was just like, "No, I'm not doing this."
He bailed. And did you see what they did on the bottom? So they drop into the toaster, right, and then they come out the bottom in the little slides of it. His sign came out because he left his sign but jumped out. So the sign still went through the toaster, but he, as the Pop-Tart, did not. So it was a planned move there by the strawberry Pop-Tart. Can't blame him. You know, you're having a lot of fun. You're dancing around. You're having a good time all day. No reason to get toasted and then eaten by the BYU football team.
It's a man, it's that flag essentially ends the game. And it's just, I can't get over it. And again, I have a Texans ticket. Like it's good for me, but they're showing it again.
It's ticky tack. I mean, and so like, again, so were the ticky tack one on the Texans.
Yeah.
This is how they've decided to call this football game. But like, you kind of sit there and you were like, is this how this was meant to be played? Is this how it was meant to be called? And his arms are on him, but once he comes out of the break, he lets go of him. It's not like he's holding on to him out of the break, and the wide receiver runs into him, creates the contact, and then he lets go. I don't see how. What is it? Again, we talked about it with the sack. Mm-hmm. What is the defender supposed to do? What are they supposed to do in that situation?
They convert the first down, so it's over. There it is. So Woody marks across.
If someone runs at you and puts their hands on you, you're going to put your hands on them. And it's unfortunate that you had all of these calls down the stretch going both ways that were just ticky-tack call after ticky-tack call.
Do you know what makes it worse?
When the quarterback was being sacked.
That's what I was going to say. Do you know what makes it worse? Is that there was absolutely zero chance of a pass being completed on all three of the plays down the stretch that these bailouts happened because this quarterback was getting sacked. Like there was, it'd be different if it like actually affected the play. And I say affected, I don't think it was a penalty anyway, but like, let's say affected the play. The quarterback was getting sacked on all three of them. So we're going to get Houston win as an outright dog. So it's going to be a 20-16 victory. So doesn't matter if you had the +1, +1.5, +2, whatever, any of the numbers that were available out there, they went outright. So it doesn't matter. Houston moves on to 11-5 on the season. The Chargers fall to 11-5 on the season. And that does officially eliminate the Colts, correct? Is what this
it
does?
It eliminates the Colts, and the Texans are officially in the playoffs.
Yes.
So we are in one of like a very unique situation. Both the NFC and AFC, we know every playoff team. I should say, wait, we know every wild card team. The two situations of the playoffs team we don't know, Carolina, Tampa Bay in the NFC South, and Pittsburgh and Baltimore in the AFC North. The division winner will get in. Whoever does not win the division will not get a wild card. But we more or less know who we're going to see in the playoffs here, and we are, what, 25% of the way through week 17?
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, we spent a lot of time here talking about the ref show, and it certainly was a ref show, but I will say this. The Texans' defense alone will make them a team you don't really want to run into in the playoffs. That said, they got to figure something out on the offensive side here. Like, it was absolutely clunky for, what, 40 minutes of this game? 45 minutes of this game? I mean, maybe longer. Maybe 55. 50. Yeah, I was so going to say, yeah.
Stroud started out the game for 4 for 4 with 158 yards. That was with the second touchdown was scored with 9 minutes left in the first quarter. Stroud ends the game 16 for 28 for 244 yards. Throws for less than 100 yards through the rest of that game. They never really had a run game. They were taking sacks. They were always pressure. It's just an offense that needed two bad punts to be able to get back into field goal range. Both field goals were off of sub 35-yard punts from the Chargers. They need turnovers. They need things to go right. Now, I agree with you. This defense is always going to be the best unit on the field. No matter who they play, that defense will be the best unit on the field. The question is going to be, can the defense do enough to set up the offense to be successful and get enough points to be able to win the football game?
Oh, what this also did is that clinched the AFC West for the Broncos as well. So I cashed a ticket. I didn't even know I was going to cash a ticket. I just remembered that.
Look,
so there
you.
We go. The Broncos AFC West ticket. Let's cash one. Let's get that one in there. That'll be fun to open the account to here in a little bit. So the Broncos get the AFC West. The Texans do officially make the playoffs. Third consecutive season for them there. Guys, you know where we bet horses. Me and Mike have talked about this over First Bet since we've been doing the show. And they are our partners here at VSiN. Go in, download the First Bet app, or head to firstbet.com, 1STBET. .com. Use the promo code VSiN250, and you're going to want to do that because when you go to the site, you're going to see up to a $200 sign-up bonus. But when you use VSiN250, we actually have a better sign-up bonus for you there. So go in, firstbet.com, or download the First Bet app. VSiN250 is your promo code, and that is how you get up to $250 in sign-up bonus. You can sit there, make your bets, watch a lot of the races right there in the app. It's where we bet horses. You should as well, firstbet.com. So there we go. Clinch the AFC West. Yes, there it is. I mean, so there is no, so the Ravens are still live. Should they win, yes, and then the Steelers lose out? But basically we know everything.
I would be surprised at this point. Yes. I mean, well, here's the thing. The Ravens need to beat the Packers tonight, and they do play the Steelers in week 18. So they have the head-to-head opportunity still left with the Steelers, which gives them the opportunity to be able to jump the Steelers and win the division. The Steelers have to play the Browns this week. So if the Steelers take care of business against the Browns, they are your division winner.
This is one of those two, Mike, where I guess now if you kind of look at just the big picture type of deal for the Ravens, they look at this and say, okay, we sit Lamar this week. We get their backup quarterback. We figure out a way to win. We still have to get lucky anyway to try to do this thing. So if we do get lucky, then we can sit here and try and get it done in week 18 with Lamar, who by then I assume a back contusion would be able to play, would be my guess.
You would expect Lamar to play week 18 if they are still alive. Now, for everybody out there, 20 minutes to kickoff. This late game is on Peacock. It is on Peacock. So you have to stream it. So if you're out there and you're trying to watch the late game, make sure your Peacock login of either yourself, your friend, your mother, your sister, whoever it is available.
Yeah. Call around. Call around. Yeah. Ask your friends. Put out a tweet right now. Do whatever you got to do. Get on your little group text and be like, hey, who's got a Peacock account? I need who's it for like the next 4 hours. just fine. I'll buy you a drink next time I see you. We'll let you know what the final line, total, anything in our account for the late kickoff when we come back.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are final over in Los Angeles. The Houston Texans 20, the Los Angeles Chargers 16. Texans cover any and all numbers as they went outright as dogs. 16 of 28 for 244 and two touchdowns for C.J. Stroud. A little bit of an asterisk there. A 75-yarder, 43-yarder in there. Woody Marks, 19 for 71. Kind of got it going a little bit there late, but not a ton going on for the vast majority of the game. Sorry, people who relied on Nico Collins to get to your fantasy championships. 3 for 57, no touchdowns for him. You do get that long touchdown to Higgins. You didn't play him. And Noel, you didn't play him either. 3 for 54 for Noel, 2 for 88 for Higgins. Just a very wonky, clunky Houston offensive performance. Didn't matter. Get it done. Herbert, 21 of 32, 236. Officially sacked 5 times. 3 got wiped off the board for penalties. And 2 more, that was one where a defender was literally hanging on him at the waist and they let him throw the pass anyway. Like, could have been 10 sacks in this game for him. He rushes for 37. He was the team's leading rusher in this one as well. Quentin Johnston, 5 for 98, but he had a 60-yarder, so that was a bulk of that. Gadsden, 3 for 32 and a touchdown. McConkie only gets 2 targets, only has 1 catch. So it was just a crazy, crazy check down fest here. Amarian Hampton, 8 catches on 8 targets for just 31 yards in this thing. So, you know, Mike, it just comes down to inefficiencies as well in the kicking game and then the offensive line completely breaking down. I mean, this game was definitely there for the Chargers to win, and they just couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, you mentioned the sacks, 5 sacks, 8 tackles for a loss, just 8 quarterback hits. I feel like that number is low. You mentioned the multiple sacks that came off the board via penalty. Herbert was running for his life the majority of this football game, and it really created issues for the offense on the Chargers side. The first half was atrocious from the Chargers offense, not really able to get anything going until later in that half. It feels like this is a Houston team that's kind of fortunate to win. After they put up those 14 early points with the way that their offense was clunky, only 1 quarterback hit today on C.J. Stroud, which seems odd as well, as he was under pressure for a lot of the day when he was dropping back. But it's just nothing downfield, no time to throw the football. The offensive line that we've seen be an issue for this Chargers team in the past was a big-time problem for them again today.
So here we go. The Texans clinch a playoff berth with that, and with the loss, the Chargers now are eliminated from winning the AFC West. It is the Broncos that will be cashing those tickets for you guys out there that have those Broncos tickets. I only mentioned that because I have one. Feels good. Feels good, Mike, to get that one in there. And, of course, the Texans aren't actually done with in the South. Again, in theory, if they win next week and Jacksonville loses either one of the next 2 games, Houston could still win the AFC South. So that is not out of the realm of possibility for them either. So they will probably be playing very hard next week in this in week number 18, in which you and I were trying to figure out how many games were going to matter. Maybe like 3, maybe
3. Jacksonville has the Colts and the Titans left. The Texans have the Colts left. So you would think that this is the more difficult week for the Jaguars with the Titans sitting there in week 18. The games that matter next week, right now we know that the Bucs game against Carolina will matter if the Bucs win. If they do, that's going to be for the division. If they lose, then the Carolina wins the division. That doesn't matter. The other one that is definitely going to be important here for the number one seed in the NFC, you've got Seattle and San Francisco. The Bears also still alive for the number one seed in the AFC. The Rams have 11 wins. I don't believe there is a clean path for them, though. They need a lot to happen to be able to possibly get the number one seed. So some games going to matter toward the top of the NFC. But we know 12 of our 14 playoff teams now, and we are just waiting on those division winners from the NFC South and the AFC North to decide that. And we could find out that AFC complete list if the Ravens lose tonight, taking on the Packers here in about 10 minutes.
So it is late money here for Green Bay, Mike. I guess people see that Lamar isn't playing and then want to bet them. The 2s have been wiped out everywhere except for behind me at Circa. So if you're in a Circa market and you're looking for a 2 on Green Bay, it's there. It's 2.5 everywhere else. So all the 2s got eaten up. We're now down pretty much universally to 37.5, and I think that's going to trigger me a bet on the over. I'm with you. As the more that we talk through this, yes, it is a downgrade. There's no doubt about it. I went and looked at the weather just now. It's just going to be cold. Not even the precipitation probably will hold off towards either to the very, very end of the game, or maybe it'll hold off all game, and then there's no wind. So it's just going to be cold. These guys are used to playing in the cold. It's Baltimore and Green Bay. And these two quarterbacks, one, have played a lot in these offenses as it is anyway, and two, the Baltimore offense, as you said, mirrors what you get whenever you have Snoop Huntley out there and Lamar, and then they actually have a whole package in Green Bay for Malik Willis. So I think 37.5 is now getting to the point where I'm going to have to play the over, because if this game's 21-20, something like that, that's not going to be a surprise. I mean, at all to me.
No, and you still have weapons on both of these teams. I expect the Ravens to be successful running the football in this game. I played Derrick Henry over rushing props. I believe he's going to be able to get some running room against a Green Bay team that has lost multiple pieces when they are trying to stop the run. We saw them get banged up over the last couple weeks. So Derrick Henry rushing over his total, I believe 76.5 was the number I got. 73.5, I'm sorry, was the number I got there. So I'll take Derrick Henry over the 73.5. I am interested in our conversation around Malik Willis too, Matt. You can get Malik Willis 200 yards at plus 200, 175 plus at plus 115. His regular number here sitting at 167.5. Green Bay did not just run the football last week when they lost Jordan Love. They still have throwing packages in for Malik Willis. He played for them last year when you saw Love go down. He was successful there. I think this is going to be a Green Bay offense that is still very similar to what you see with Love. Maybe a little bit more shifting toward the run, but still going to throw the football.
Yeah, I am playing, just so everyone knows, I am going to play the over 37.5, and I'm going to take a little piece of a Malik Willis passing as well. It's 166 here behind me. It was 167, like you said, on the rest of the books out there. He is not an incapable quarterback. We're not putting Max Brosmer back there. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not Max Brosmer. This is not like one of those type situations. This is a dude that's played a decent amount in the NFL. And by the way, it was a pretty high draft pick, if you guys remember. It was a pretty high draft pick as well. There were some people who liked his skill set as well. I think 167 is a little bit too low, especially now that I look at the weather. It's just cold. Cold's not a big deal.
So Willis played what looks like three games for Love last year. He came into the Indianapolis game. He threw for 202 yards against Tennessee and 202 against Tennessee, 122 against Indianapolis last year. So one over, one under there. It just feels like they're going to still try and throw the football, want to run the normal offense. And again, we've seen him as a starter multiple times. We saw him coming against Chicago and air it out last week. This is going to be a Green Bay offense that tries to operate like they normally do. I think the focus of this, though, this isn't the Packers and the Ravens defense that we expected at the start of the year.
Right.
This is a Packers defense that is dealing with injury. It's a Baltimore defense that has not been nearly as good as we expected, even once they started to get healthy on the defensive side. These are both gettable defenses here on a very low total game. I realize we got backup quarterbacks, but again, these backup quarterbacks, not as big of an adjustment to the market, to the number, to the team rating, as you see for certain starters to backups because of how well they know the systems they're going to be running.
Guys, Fremont Street Experience is always on, but this New Year's Eve, turning it all the way up, ring in 2026 at Countdown Under the Canopy, happening December the 31st, all night long. 6 live concerts on 3 stages. Robin Thicke, CeeLo, Chingy, we got all of them out there, Mike. Can you imagine? Let's come on down and hang out and party with us. A massive Countdown light spectacular on the iconic Fremont Street canopy as well. One ticket, one night, just $60, and the party starts at 7 p.m. Grab your tickets now at vegasexperience.com, Slotzilla box office, or at any gate location on December the 31st. Robin Thicke, little CeeLo, some Chingy.
It's not bad. Not bad, Matt.
CeeLo, I guess.
You could do worse.
Making a comeback. CeeLo kind of faded away there for a little bit.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
Good for CeeLo.
Coming around.
Robin Thicke had that one song.
Coming out the other side.
It's been a minute since he dropped anything else out.
Did he only have one? I thought he had a couple. He only had one?
I only know of one.
You give me the rest. What's your favorite Chingy banger?
Oh, I couldn't name a Chingy song off the top of my head. I'm sure if I heard them, I would know them, but I couldn't name one off the top of my head.
Right There. You know that one? Remember Right There? And then he did Holiday Inn with Snoop, if you remember that one.
Oh, yeah. Holiday Inn. That was a good jam.
Kind of underrated. That was the One Call Away. Do you remember that one? I'm only one call away. No, you're just...
I remember that. So, like I said, you tell me the song, I could literally sing the hook to every one of those songs. However, I couldn't have told you any of them were Chingy.
Yeah, so a little Chingy action going on out there. It'll be fun. $60. Might as well come on down. You're not doing anything on the strip for $60. I can promise you that. You're not getting anything on the strip for $60. All right, let's kick this game off whenever we come back.